Hello, this is the Library Talker, also known as the Library Lady. I am the Library Talker at librarytalker.blogspot.com and Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is hosted. So for today, I'm going to be discussing You Should See Me in a Crown by Leah Johnson. This one has some interesting points to it. It also has some interesting problems, but the cover is awesome, I gotta say. A whole Billie Eilish thing, you know. Very reminiscent and very modern, and I like it. So the story is, we have Liz Leidy, Elizabeth, who is one of the only people of color in her very upper, you know, elite school thing. She's in a small town, and there's a lot of rich people there. So a lot of rich people in the small town, in the school, and they get to, you know, kind of buy everything that they need and want. So while everybody else has cars, she's still on her bike. So she's getting ready to graduate. She got accepted into this ultra cool school with all this ultra cool stuff. And she is ready to go. She's going to go be a doctor and help out people like her brother, and her mom, who had passed away, because they both had sickle cell anemia, and it's a struggle. She did not happen to get it, but her mother ended up having, I believe it was a stroke or something, as a subsequent thing after an attack from the sickle cell. And her brother is struggling with it. So she is determined she's going to become a doctor. She's going to study all of that, and she's going to try and find a way to at least help people, if not cure sickle cell, which is great. That's awesome. She's also a very good clarinet player and a music arranger. And so she was hoping to get a scholarship to this college, a full ride, so that she could pay for it, because otherwise she's just way too poor, with her parents being, you know, her mom being having passed away, her dad being long since gone, her grandparents raising them. She knows that should she, need to go and she can't afford it, her grandparents would do something like sell the house, and she doesn't want them to do that. So she's trying very hard. So at the very beginning of the story, you find out that she has submitted her arrangement. She's auditioned. She thought she did great, but she got rejected for the full ride scholarship. And now she's panicking and she has no idea what to do. Well, because this is a rich school, and because there are a lot of people who are very wealthy, and because homecoming and prom and these kinds of things are huge deals, prom court is a major thing. There's a huge process for it. And it includes, if you get king or queen, you get a $10,000 scholarship. So she's convinced, even though she absolutely hates public speaking and she doesn't like being out and, you know, having people look at her, and she's desperate. She needs that $10,000, which, I'm going to say right now, if this school is as exclusive as she says it is, this big important college that she's going to, $10,000ain't gonna do much. I'm sorry. It's not. That might get through you like half a semester in this day and age. Seriously, colleges are way overpriced. I mean, I would understand it if the professors got paid a lot, but they don't. They really just don't get paid much at all. So the idea of, oh, well, we're paying, no, you're not. You could go wholly virtual and, you know, remove the building part of it, and that might help a little bit, but no. You're not paying people enough for the huge amount of money that you're charging. It's a profit institution. Come on, we all know it. And of course, people who are working at universities might argue with me on that, but that's my point of view. Anyway, so she needs this money, and so she joins the thing to be, you know, the prom queen. She's up, you know, she's running for it, and we do have our, you know, we do have our little hater girls, and we have, for some reason, there's this one girl who just hates her no matter what. We never understand quite why. It could just be a race thing, I don't know. But there we go. In the middle of all of this enters Mac. And Mac is Amanda Mac McCarthy, if I remember correctly, right? She comes into the story as a new girl. And she also decides to run for prom queen. I'm not quite sure if it ever explains really why. I mean, I know it was in there, but it didn't really compute. But she joins and she, you know, now Liz has this other girl, and that's when you kind of like find out, oh, okay, so Liz is LGBTQ. Got it. They're both, now they start sparking. Except for the thing is, here's my problem with the book. The sparks aren't there. It's just, there's, you don't feel it. Mac is there, she's introduced, and all of a sudden they're, you know, at one point they talk, they're dating, there you go. And it's not even a lot. I mean, they're not together a lot in the book. You don't see a lot. There's not a lot of chemistry on the page. This is where I struggle. I think the idea of a person of color and race issues and trying to overcome poverty and stuff, I think that's all worthwhile. And I think that's good. But I think the relationship is not there at all. It's barely, they're barely together. Yes, Liz doesn't want people to know that she happens to be gay, but, that's not, it's not pushed as anything. Amanda decides to, you know, agrees, or Mac decides to, keep it a secret with Liz because she thinks Liz's safety is in danger, that somebody's gonna, you know, hurt her for being gay. And that's not exactly what it is. Liz, yes, there's are people who would have a problem with her, but she's it's hard to explain. She doesn't want people to know, partly because of privacy, partly because of people making fun of her, and partly because, yes, for the prom queen thing, there is a point that's stated in the very beginning, you can only date a person of the opposite birth gender, and that girls wear dresses and boys wear tuxes. But it's again, it's not, it's like she tried to write a person of color version of that musical Prom that came out a few years ago, where, you know, there, that's in there, but it's hard to tell where the focus is. It's a little disjointed. At the same time, we also have her trying to make up with a friend, that she knew, they'd been good friends before, high school, and on like one of the first days of school when she saw him again, he blew her off because he was hanging with other guys. And there's this like other subplot thing where her best friend, sorry about that, where her best friend turns out to have kind of betrayed her. And there's, you know, it just kind of, there's so many different things going on that it doesn't ever kind of coalesce into one solid story. Now, granted, life is like that. Life is all over the place. Life is, this is happening and that is happening and this is happening over there. It's, that is what life is like. But for this story, this book, this thing, there's not a lot of, you know, solid anything going on. You can't really find anything. You can't really, you know, say, lock on to, oh, here is the main thing, because there are so many things going on. Is it about her being a person of color? Is it about LGBTQ? Is it about best friends and betrayals? Is it about, you know, romance? What is this story about? It doesn't have like a focus or two. It is so kind of all over the place. It's difficult. So there is that. I mean, it has its points. It's an interesting read. It was very quick. Granted, I was reading it fast because I'm trying to, you know, work on this book club that I've got going on. She's 17. That might be a little old for my book club. I'm not sure. But again, I think, I'm not sure if I would jump into it anyway. As this idea of, something for, kids to read as quality. It's not, It's kind of a struggle with that. Additionally, bad timing on the part of the publishing. It is set in the spring of 2020. And so because it was probably written many months before and published, and it was, you know, the published date was already set for June of 2020, they missed the fact that there was this whole, you know, big event happening. So it just, like, when they pointed out the year at one point, like, oh, it's 2020, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, well, then where are the masks? And why aren't people at home learning online because of the safety issues, you know? I think somebody should have gone back in and changed that to, like, this is 2019. And just, like, acted like it was the year before. Maybe that would have been good, because it was a little bit of a pullout for that second. But anyway, Liz is an interesting character. She is you know, you're in her mind. She's it's from her point of view, basically. And you do kind of understand where she's coming from. You understand her panic about going to school. You understand when her brother gets sick. You understand her worries about her grandparents making decisions that would negatively affect them while trying to affect her positively, and she doesn't want to be a burden on them and that kind of stuff. But so again, some of the realities are missing, like the $10,000 is really not going to do much for her in the grand scheme of things. The music is mentioned a couple of times as her being an arranger, because she likes to arrange music, and she is, again, first chair on her clarinet and everything. And so those are mentioned, but that's, again, it's only really brought in as a place for her to have a reason for a scholarship for becoming a doctor. It's not really kind of fleshed out that much. It's just she likes to arrange music, and it's mentioned a couple of times. And oh yeah, she plays clarinet, and that's mentioned a couple of times. It's not, again, it's so scattered. There's so many things going on, which is, again, life is like that, but you don't really know, like, why is the music there except for just to be a way for her to try and get a scholarship. That's it. It's not it doesn't seem to be a part of her life except for she's trying to do all of these things. She's trying to do all these community events so she can get the points that she needs to make it into the top four to get voted for prom queen. Cause there's like 25 people up for it. And, now she's exhausted because she still has to practice and she still has to do arranging and she's in her AP classes and blah, blah, blah. Again, all life, all messy, but it just seems to be something to drop into her into her life as something to make her life more complicated, not necessarily as a way to, you know, this is who she is. Though it's a little bit of a mess. It does have its good moments, but it never really fleshes anything out, despite the fact that it's like over 300 pages. It doesn't feel like it's got a lot of meat to it. So on a scale of 1 to 5, 1 being avoid traffic cones, stay away, 5 being amazing, 2 being 3 being and 4 being this is a 3. And that's kind of being a little generous, but I'm going to go with it. Again, it's good to see a person of color. It's good to see LGBTQ representation. It would be better if those things were more a part of it. You know, if there was, it feels like it's just there to be a problem, not, to be, this is a reality. It's just more like, oh yeah, she happens to be a person of color and gay. Oh, that's going to suck for her. I mean, that's basically what that whole thing was. And it's just, it just doesn't feel like it's fleshed. So on the grand scheme of things, 3 out of 5 ain't bad, but it ain't great. But this is You Should See Me in a Crown. It's by Leah Johnson. And I am the library talker at Blogspot, so librarytalker.blogspot.com, and Library Lady on Podomatic, where this podcast is currently hosted. And I hope that you all have a really great day.